thankful again to be here today. I'm humbled to bring you the gospel, but I'm happy to do so. I'm happy and feel so privileged to be able to be part of the family of God. And I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. I want to fill the place that He wants me to fill as He wants me to fill it. I'd like to read in the 27th chapter of Acts this morning. And maybe before we start, I want to give a little bit of background. This passage is when Paul was on a voyage to Rome. And if you remember, before he took this voyage to Rome, Paul had stood before, he'd been taken prisoner. And there were different ones that were interested in where Paul was coming from, if you recall. And you remember he stood in front of Felix, if I've got that right, Felix the governor. And you remember Paul had an opportunity to preach a gospel message to Felix. A wonderful gospel message. And it seemed like when he got down there towards the end, that the scripture said that he reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And you remember what it said Felix did? It said he trembled. But he didn't make the right decision. He trembled and he said, "When I have a more convenient time, I will call for thee." That's a whole other message. But that was the wrong choice. Well, so he sent Paul on his way, and then Paul was able to stand before King Agrippa. You know, sometimes in our difficult situations in life, it's easy for us to think, "Lord, I just want out of this situation. This isn't a good situation. I shouldn't be here. I need out." But because of the situation that Paul was in, he was able to bring a gospel message to Felix like he'd never heard before. And now he was able to stand before King Agrippa. And he stood before King Agrippa and he preached a message to King Agrippa too. Paul was a pretty smart man. I remember when he was speaking, he kind of implored both Felix and King Agrippa. He reminded them, I think it was Felix, he said, "You know, because of who you are and how long you've been here, I'm the more happy to tell you about my situation." He's basically saying, "I think you're the type of person that's going to understand what I'm getting ready to say." And he did the same thing with King Agrippa. He told King Agrippa, he said, "I know that you, these things aren't a mystery to you. I know that you understand what I'm talking about." Because Festus was over there trying to shut him up, saying, "This guy, he's mad." And then Paul told King Agrippa, "No, you know what things I'm talking about. These things aren't strange and a mystery to you." And he got to preach a gospel message to King Agrippa. Remember what King Agrippa said when he got to the end of his message? It's another sad story. What was it?
Almost.
Almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Well, because Paul had wanted to stand before Caesar, they weren't able to let him go. Maybe they would have let him go. I believe the scripture bears that out. If you wouldn't have appealed to Caesar, maybe he would have been let you go. So now he was on his voyage to go stand before Caesar. That's what this passage is all about. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of this, but I'd like to read three verses here. The 22nd verse, and we're going to pick up after the weather became very bad. And everybody remembers they got on this boat, the thing started not going real well from a sailor's standpoint. Paul had told them earlier, he said, "I believe this isn't going to go well." Tried to warn them of that. But they went ahead and set voyage anyway. So it's almost like he set the stage. He planted a seed in their minds. Or the Lord planted a seed in their minds that the words that came from Paul had some meaning. And he told them, this doesn't look good. I'm afraid this isn't going to turn out well." So they went out on the voyage anyway. The winds came up, and you know, it started getting pretty bad out there. And in the 22nd verse, it says, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." And in the 30th verse, it said, "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship," see, it was starting to get really bad. I mean, after Paul said that, the tempest came, the winds, it wasn't looking good at all for these men. So in the 30th verse, it said, "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers." Now remember, there were a whole bunch of prisoners on this boat too with him. It wasn't just Paul and those that were running the ship. There were other prisoners that these folks were supposed to watch after. And it wasn't a good thing to let prisoners go and get away from you. So they had a sense of urgency to make sure that nobody got away. "And Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." See, what they were doing is they were looking at the lifeboat. They were looking at the other little boats that were hanging on the ship to maybe they could get away with those. And Paul saw what was going on. He said, "Well, wait a minute." He said, if these people don't stay on this ship, ye cannot be saved. It said, "Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off." So Paul gave them some instructions. If they get away on this boat, there's going to be loss. The soldiers listened to what he said. They cut the ropes fell, and they lost the ship. This morning I'm thinking about being committed. I'm thinking about being committed. Some time ago, I brought out the little thought about, you know, there's kind of sometimes two different camps of people when it comes to getting into cold water. Yeah. How do you get into a swimming pool or in a cold body of water? Are you the type that just jumps into the deep end? Or are you the type that dabbles your toes in the water for a little while and about an hour later you're still trying to figure out whether you want to be in or not? You know, some people come up to the edge and they hang out in the shallow water. And they dabble their toes in the water a little bit or they want to get accustomed to it. They don't want to just get all totally in. They want to acclimate to this water, so to speak. And so they'll dibble their toes in. Some people, they'll wander out a little ways and maybe get a little bit of their shins wet and their knees. And then you look back around and you think, well, they're making progress. Then you look back around and they're sitting back on the side of the bank with their toes still in the water. But they're still getting acclimated. Well, there's that camp of people. See, that's a reversible decision. They can come in and out of the water as long as they keep doing that. If somebody calls, they can go to town. They don't have to change their clothes. They don't have to comb their hair. Everything's just like they left it. They can dry their feet off quickly. Nobody even knows they've been in the water. And they can go back and forth indefinitely doing that for a long time. See, never really committing themselves. Then there's other people. They get on the side and they're going to get in the water and they jump. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just jumped in? Okay, well, I have too. Now, I will say this. Sometimes people go back and forth. Sometimes people will be in both camps. Sometimes it depends on the weather, what camp they're in. But I've jumped in before, and I don't know if you're like me, but it impresses upon me there's this time period between when you jump and when you hit the water. You know what I'm talking about? And you're in the air, and the water is out all in front of you, and these thoughts go through your mind, I'm going in that water. I'm committed. There's no going back. Whether you want to or not, you have made a decision, and you've jumped, and you can't reverse gravity. You can't go backwards onto the side of the bank. You've committed yourself. You are getting ready to be immersed in the water. And you hit that water and you go down and you are totally immersed and you are totally covered. And you know, a lot of times what happens is you become acclimated way quicker than what you thought you were going to be. In fact, you become acclimated like pretty well right now. Your body acclimates pretty quick. And then you look at the people that are dabbling their toes in the water, and you're thinking, why don't they just jump in? Why don't they just jump in and enjoy the water? Now you're swimming around, you're free, don't have to worry about it anymore. You have committed yourselves, you've acclimated to it, and you're enjoying themselves, and you're watching people, you know, move a little bit in, come back out, never sure whether they want to come in, whether they want to go out. Committed. What does committed mean to you today? Committed means you're resolved. Committed means that you're not going to let something take you away from your purpose. I've written down here a continuing obligation. You know, there are a lot of people today that are committed to a lot of different things. Some people are committed here in the Northwest. You have a lot of people that are committed to exercising. And rain or shine, you see people out there pounding the pavement. And they don't wake up in the morning and peek out the window to see whether it's raining or not to decide whether they're going to run. They're committed to it. They're going to run. Doesn't matter what the weather is. They're going to get up, they're going to go out, and they're going to run. They're committed to it. Well, there's other people that are committed to hobbies that they have. You're going to find them there. That's where their heart is. Some people are committed to saving their money. And they're going to pinch their pennies and they're going to save the money and it doesn't matter. They're committed to it. Doesn't matter what temptation you put in front of them, that check is going into the bank. Now, there's other people that seem to be committed to spending. Some people are committed to spending. They get their money and they spend, whether they have it to spend or not. They're committed to spend. And you can tell them, you better not do that. There might be some unexpected expenses that come, but they're committed to spending and they spend their money. Other people are committed to looking young. You know, there's a multi-million, billion-dollar industry in the world today trying to keep everybody from growing old. Well, I hate to break the news to you, but every one of us, whether you look old or you don't look old, the Scripture tells us that that we have 70 is what's appointed to us. And everybody is appointed once to die, and then the judgment. And so you can spend all the time you want trying to look as young as you want, but there's going to come a day where that's going to come to an end too. But there are people that are committed to it. They spend all kinds of time trying to look young. They're committed to it. These men in this little story that we read, they came to the place where they had to be committed to what it was that Paul, the direction that Paul gave them. Because there was danger out there. Their lives were at stake. And this man that professed to be a man of God, remember the seeds that I said he planted? A little bit earlier, he told them, y'all, I fear that what we're getting ready to do is it could be trouble. Sure enough, just like he said, and some of these people, these maybe had been listening to his messages. Maybe, I don't know, maybe his guards had been listening to some of these messages to Felix and maybe to King Agrippa. I don't know, and now here he was and he said, there's going to be trouble out here. There was trouble that came, and then he told them, if you cut that rope, it's going to be more trouble. Everyone will be saved, but you're going to have to stay here. And there were men that were here that had to have been looking at those life rafts over there that were swinging in front of them. It was a temptation to them. But they made a decision, we're not going there. I noticed that they didn't just say, hey everybody, we're not going to do that. We're not going to avail ourselves of this. But they took their knives out and they cut the rope. There's no going back. They were committed. And this morning, I am challenged and encouraged to be committed for the way of the Lord. How committed are you today? You know, it seems like that so often as human beings, we allow things in our lives. And we heard a little bit about this morning in Sunday school. But it seems like we allow things in our lives that tether us to the shallow water. We allow things to keep us from becoming committed to being fully immersed in the way of the Lord. It seems like we as humans sometimes, we want to be able to make decisions that are reversible depending on the circumstances we find ourselves in. And as a result of that, we don't become committed to this way. And then we don't enjoy what the Lord has for us. This morning, be encouraged to be committed. Because if we're not committed, we're going to find ourselves hanging out in shallow spiritual waters that don't have the depth that God wants for you to have. That's where the enemy wants us to be. He wants us to leave those things in our lives that are always in front of us. We talked about the sin that does so easily beset us this morning. There are things in our lives that easily beset us. I don't know what they are for you altogether, like you do, but you know what they are. The enemy knows what they are. And too often we let them hang around in our lives. And the Spirit of the Lord comes and He says, Rod, if you don't let go of that, there's going to be trouble. Get rid of it. Yes. And what He wants me to do is He wants me to cut the ties with it. Yes. He wants me to let it go. Right. He wants me to jump off the edge and jump into the water of life. Yes. He doesn't want me to just hang out on the shore so that when it's convenient, I can go be with the world. When it's convenient, I can get out of the water. And then when it's convenient, when it works out, well, I can kind of dabble my toes and wade in and be with the people of God and try to be one of their number. God wants us this morning to be committed. He wants us to be all in. He doesn't want us to be part way. And it seems like the enemy is working so hard on us and our young people today. Young people, get a hold of this. We all are being pulled to try to figure out, what can I do and just get by and still be saved and do the things that I want to do? It's not a good plan. It seems like that instead of saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? We say, well, I don't think this is totally necessary. I don't think I totally have to do this. Or the Lord's not completely requiring this of me. I don't find scripture and verse that says that I have to do this. And we live our lives that way, dabbling our toes in the water. We live our lives with an alternative that's out there in front of us all the time, that if this doesn't work out, if this spiritual walk doesn't work out, and it looks like it starts getting a little rough, I can jump into this other lifeboat because I'm keeping it close by. Cut your ties to that. Forget about trying to live two different lives. You'll be miserable in both. Yes, so. You won't fit in with either one. You go with the people of the world and you feel... And I'm not saying that if you deny God right now that the best option is just to go full out in the world. That's not why. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm telling you this morning is that living in the middle is not a comfortable place to be. And living on the side of the world is an even less comfortable place to be. God wants us to let go. And so often what we do is we handle and we smell and we touch and we look at and we long for the forbidden fruit with one breath. And then in the next breath we're saying, Lord, would you bless me in my life? While we're holding on to the very things of the Lord, saying, just let it go. Put a hedge around the tree of the forbidden fruit. Put some standards in place and some safeguards and some blinders that keep you away from being distracted by the weight that does so easily beset you. Let's not spend our time with, well, I don't need that blinder. Well, I don't need to put that hedge up. That's no sin. What's the sin is the apple that the Lord said not to eat. And so we spend all of our time telling everybody why it's not necessary for me to stay away from the tree of forbidden fruit. It should be okay to walk right up next to it as long as I don't take a bite of it. And then we're sitting there smelling it and holding it. And someone says, you best not do that. You ought to put some distance between yourself and that. And the enemy wants our response to be, I never took a bite of it. I didn't take a bite of it. The Bible says don't eat of it. I'm not eating of it. And we're smelling it and handling it and looking at it. God knows where we are, folks. We can't be blessed when we're doing that. That's why we teach. That's why we teach a life of separation from the world. Yes, there are things that maybe you could do that aren't technically sin, but why would you go down the path where the sin is? Wasn't it in Proverbs the man that was going to go down the road he shouldn't go down, and somebody looked out the window and there was a man void of understanding getting ready to go down that road? Why go down the road when there are other paths? Where are you trying to end up this morning? How committed are you? I don't want to live my life where I'm trying to live to satisfy myself and the flesh and the world, and at the same time try to live for the Lord and then wonder why I'm not blessed in my spirit. Because that's what happens. We go along the way and we don't feel blessed. We sing these songs and our cup doesn't overflow. And we hear testimonies and of people that have victory and we don't feel the same victory. It's because you haven't cut the rope sometimes. I know that we don't live on feelings, and there are times that we're doing everything right and yet our feelings aren't there. I know that. I have those feelings. I have those feelings more than what I'd like to have. But I also know this, saints. I know what it means to have my cup overflow. I know in my heart what it means when we sing that song. And when the Lord shows me and says, Rob, these things in your life, maybe they're not technically sin, but they're a distraction. They're hanging out there swinging in front of you in the battle of life. And when you should be focusing on putting your trust and your faith in me, you're looking at an alternative way to live that you think will save you from the dissatisfaction that you're having. Cut those loose. Don't allow it to be an option. Get rid of them. Until you do that, you're not going to experience what God wants you to have in your life. He has a wonderful experience for you. He wants you to swim in the deep. He wants you to be enveloped by His love. He doesn't want you just experience on your toes or on your ankles. He wants you to have a testimony. I know what it means. I know what it feels like to have the arms of the Lord around me. I know what it means to have jumped from my place of fleshly security and jumped with faith that when I hit that water, all is going to be okay. And every time it is. That's the truth of it. When you jump into the depths of the Lord, it's good every time. You don't find people that are disappointed with that way of life. You find people that are out there swimming in the deep saying, come in. Why are you out there dabbling your feet? And people are saying, well, I'm not sinning. You can't accuse me of doing anything directly contrary to the Scriptures. And you're trying to tell them, yeah, but you're on the edge out there. You're on the bank. You're playing in areas that it's not safe. You're so close that you can get so easily drawn. You haven't separated yourself. You haven't committed yourself. You haven't got to the place where you're willing full time on a permanent basis to let the Lord know and to let the world know, I'm not one of you. It's okay to let the world know, I'm not one of you. I've been saved, not in a bad way. Not to say I'm better than you, but God has called me to His life. He's called me to be a disciple, and I'm following the Lord, and He's calling you too. Come. It's a good way. It's a good life. Amen. Be willing this morning to cut. Cut those places out of your life that are hindering you. You cannot serve God and mammon. I wrote some verses or some examples down here. In 1 Kings 18 and 21, we find where Elijah stood between the two altars. You know the story. And he had the altars of Baal and the altar of God. And he asked the people, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? Is there anyone here this morning that's halting between two opinions? Is there anyone here this morning that you find yourself sitting on the edge with your feet in the water one day, and the next day you're trying to engage in the things of the world and the flesh, and then maybe prayer meeting time comes or Sunday comes, and you try to pull yourself back in and dip your feet back in the water? I can just hear the prophet saying, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to continue to look at each one? If God be God, serve Him. If Baal is God, well then serve Baal. But you need to decide. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Who said that? That was Joshua, wasn't it? Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Whether you're going to serve the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood, or the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Regardless of what everybody does. Regardless of the number of people that are lining the edge of the pool with their feet in the water saying, I'm a Christian. I do not want to be tempted with that. We're getting in the last days, saints. There's going to be fewer and fewer people that are jumping into the deep spiritual things that God wants us to experience. And we're going to be faced with more and more people that say, I'm a Christian, and have a form of godliness but deny the power of it. I want to be willing to jump in regardless of if I'm all by myself. Joshua said, y'all decide. You can serve whatever God you want, but I want you to know today, I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And Elijah told them, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If Baal's God, serve him. If God's God, serve him. And you know what it said that the people answered? Well, not Joshua, with Elijah. He asked that question, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? And I never, I guess, focused on this before. It really stood out to me this week. It said they answered him not a word. They answered him not a word. I wonder what was going through their minds. You think they were starting to have some doubts? We've been trying to serve this other God all day long and it's not working. We're not sure about this God and we don't know what our friends would think if we got on the other side. That might not spell good things for us either. And so they're out there kind of in the middle, bleeding, hurting. Remember, they start cutting themselves. Well, if your prayer, Elijah was a little angry. Oh, maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he doesn't hear you. Maybe you need to pray a little louder. Maybe you're not feeling fulfilled because you're just not in the world deep enough. You've just been hanging too close to those people of God. You need to give yourself more to the world. Then you'll feel a little more of the satisfaction it has to offer. And so people go a little bit farther, and they don't find satisfaction. And so then they go a little bit farther, and the devil just keeps pulling you back. I want to tell you something. If you take down the safeguards and standards of holiness that keep us separate from the forbidden fruit, and you take those boundaries down, pretty soon you're going to find yourself right in the tree. And pretty soon you're going to be eating the very fruit you said before you would never get close to. If you spend all of your time talking about why this isn't necessary and that's not necessary, and I don't need to live this way and I don't need to avoid this, and it's okay for me to dress this way and it's okay for me to watch this and go these places. Listen, you do that long enough and you're going to find yourselves in direct contradiction of the word of the Lord. Be willing to cut the ropes. Be willing to put some space around you. Be willing to say, I'm going to serve God and I'm committed to that. I'm going to take my eyes off of this other. I'm going to stop trying to have, well, the devil tells us the best of both. He's okay if people call themselves Christians. He's good with that. Go ahead. You can be a Christian, just don't live like a Christian. And so then you can live however you want, still be called a Christian. God's calling for a committed people. And I want to not be silent when the Lord comes and says, who are you with? How long are you going to halt between two opinions? Moses told the children of Levi, I believe it was, when the idol was out there, that they were dancing all around when he came down the mountain. He said, those of you that are going to serve God, come over here and stand here. He didn't ask for a raise of hands. He didn't say, everybody out there that loves the Lord and wants to be on God's side, raise your hand. And then everybody can all be mingled together, all in the same group, and you can raise your hand, but no action required. That's not what he asked. He said, if you're for the Lord, you're going to have to separate yourself from everyone else. You're going to come stand over here. You had to commit yourself. You had to get up. You had to move. You had to go where the people of God were going to be. Be willing this morning to be committed. Be willing to get up from where you are and go stand with the people of God. It's a good place. It's a place of fulfillment. It's a place where hope becomes reality. I want to be committed today. And I don't want to be silent. That's sad to me. Well, what were they going to say? They said they answered him not a word. Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. You're either going to go one way or you're going to go the other. But you can't serve them both. So why do we keep trying? And as Christians, and I don't mean this as harsh. I mean this as, may God give us spiritual vision that we understand the spirit of the enemy that's working on us today. We're being worked on. The camp of the saints becomes infiltrated with the spirit of the world, where we start questioning, is this really that necessary? Do I really need to go this far for the Lord? May our eyes be opened that, yes, I can't serve them both. I need to be committed. I need to have my eyes forward on the end goal, running to win that race. I want to win that race successfully. The pearl of great price was never promised by turning in 95% of the pearls. You know that? He said you're going to have to turn them all in. The field that had great treasure in it. Remember the man that went and discovered the field that had great treasure? What did he have to sell to get the field? Everything. Do you remember how it said he went and sold everything? Was he sad to do it? What did it say? Didn't it say happily? I didn't go read it. I thought that it did. Didn't it say he happily, or he was ready to go sell what he had because he recognized that the value of the field was greater than the value he had. Look, if it makes somebody happy to give me a $50 bill when I give them a $20 for change, I'm happy to make them happy. If you want to give me a $50 because you say, look, Rod, you give me a $20 and I'll give you a $50 back, I'm happy to give you a $20. You got a $50 to give me, I'm happy to do it. But do you know what we do? The Lord says, I have got riches for you. Every penny you turn in, I got $1,000 I want to give you. And we got some pennies in our pocket, and we're going, well, would you take 10 of them? I got 100 of them. Would you take 90 of them? There's 10 of them I really, really would like to keep. And the Lord's saying, what? And we're saying, we don't want to give this up. We feel like we're going to sacrifice it. So we try to hold on. God is not asking us to empty our pockets of pennies to leave us empty. He's not saying we have to sell all to go get this other field so that we're left desolate. He's asking us to be committed and to sell all because He has so much more for us than what we can contain when we're trying to live this other life. There's not enough room for both of them. God can't fill you with the good things that He has while you're filled with the things that are going to perish. So He's not out there trying to extract as much as He can and make you pay the price and take as many stripes and earn your way in. I can't earn my way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. Only by God, Jesus' blood, can we make it in. By faith. By grace are ye saved. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So then why do we hold on sometimes and think that we're better off? can't buy the field if I don't turn everything in. You remember those little combination locks that had, you don't see many of them anymore, they had maybe 5, 6, 7 dials, and you turn each one to a particular number. You know, if there's 7 dials and you turn 6 of them to the right number, if you don't turn that last one to the right number, you're not going to unlock the lock. And you can walk around all day saying I've got 6 or 7 of them in the right place. And you're never going to be unlocked from the bondage of whatever that's in. You can have a testimony of being 80% right, or I've got mostly everything together. But when you withhold, you're not going to be able to enjoy what God has for you. God is asking us to commit, to give it all in what we do in life. And it's when we do that, it's when we cut the ropes, that's when the blessings of the Lord come. This morning, I want to encourage us, as we go through the meeting, may our hearts and our minds be open to what the Lord speaks to you. Because I suspect that as you go through the meeting, you're going to hear things along the way. And the Spirit's going to talk to your heart. And He's going to say, you know what? This is an area right here. It would be best for you to just cut the rope. Just let it go. And when the enemy says, yeah, but that's not wrong. But why is the Lord asking you to cut the rope? Maybe it's a weight that's just holding you back. Maybe somebody else can have it in their life. But maybe for you, it's one of those things that keeps cropping up in your heart and your mind. You try to get close to the Lord, and then it's this thing. It's just always there. When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon you throughout this meeting, be willing to cut the rope. Be willing and obedient. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I want to eat the good of the land today. I want to be totally committed. I don't want to hold on to those things that hold me back. I don't want to be as Ananias and Sapphira that they come and put it out as if they've given all, but they haven't given all. The Lord knows where you are today. The enemy does too. God wants us to be willing to just turn it all over to Him and bless us in our lives. Today, if you feel tethered to something in the world, if there are things that you feel are hindering you from drawing close to the Lord and His stealing your victory, or perhaps you're not sure what it is, but you're not experiencing the joy you would like to experience, maybe throughout the course of this meeting, if you're willing, the Lord will speak to your heart and He'll put His finger on something. When He does that, be willing to say, yes, Lord, what would you have me to do? Pray for me this morning. I want to be committed. I want to make it to the end, and I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen.